Right. Hopefully. Thank you very much, June. Let's start with a prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And Lord, speak to us this morning in a new way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week I've had friends visit all week, and we've been driving around in my little camper van, had lots of fun. But one thing we noticed more than anything else was the fields were ripe for harvest, golden, golden fields. And I just thought, wow, that's what I'm speaking on Sunday. So, and those conditions need to be right, don't they, to bring the harvest in. Anyway, let's look at the Luke passage. When Jesus is travelling through Galilee, he's performing all the miracles and the teaching and the healings, and the gospel is spreading. He and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem, and he knows that in Jerusalem, that's where he's going to his death. So in a way, this is his last push to spread the kingdom of God, to get the word out. And so he appoints 72 others to go out in pairs, to go ahead of Jesus into the areas where Jesus is about to go, and to spread the good news that the kingdom of God is near. Jesus knows the greatness of the human need that these 36 pairs will come alongside: the lost, the broken, the sick, the hurting, the grieving, the destitute. How many needy and broken people do you know in your life as you go about your day? And maybe thinking of the places that you were thinking of earlier, that we bump into people on the off chance. How big is that field of needy humanity? It's the whole world out there. And that whole world, everywhere in our lives, is a mission field. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Can we not at least share what we have with others? Jesus didn't look upon it as an overwhelming problem to shy away from, but a golden opportunity to reach out into the depths of human despair. Those fields are golden and ripe for harvest, and I believe that is a message for our church, in the nation today. So Jesus says in verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, Jesus, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He is the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. It's not ours. It's got nothing to do with us. It's not how to make our home group bigger and better. It's not how to bring lots of people into ASM. It's his harvest for his glory and for his kingdom. And it's for the kingdom of God. We, in hindsight, have so much more good news. They had good news to share, but we have better news to share, because we can speak of the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and started the early church. And if you read through the book of Acts, you see the signs and the wonders and the miracles that happened. And those signs and wonders and miracles can happen here today in Mattershall and beyond. So let's step out boldly. Nikki Gumbel speaks of a God-shaped hole in our souls, which causes us to have that spiritual hunger. And only God can fill that God-shaped hole. And if we don't know Jesus, we fill. And even when we do know Jesus, it's very easy to fill that God-shaped hole in with other stuff, isn't it? But those that don't know Jesus, they'll fill it up with materialism. the love of money, pride, drink, alcohol, whatever it is, sexual immorality, including pornography, fantasizing, laziness, whatever it is that we are go-to when we don't feel connected with God. And those things that, when we feel disconnected with Jesus and don't feel complete in him. Did you have a what's it called, a PowerPoint? Don't worry if it's not there. So I don't know, has anybody heard of this? The Quiet Revival. Anybody? Some of you? No? Don't know. Don't worry. Stephen, don't worry. I can just, talk it through. So this is a report and some research that's been done, thank you, from the, by the Bible Society. They've been studying the growth of Christianity over the last 7 years. Could we have the next slide, please? And as you will see, between 2018 and 2025, there's been a surge of under 35s, I think it's 18 to 35, the Generation Z. It's gone up from 4% to 16%. It's quadrupled over the last 7 years. And these Gen Z, and it's mostly young men. Isn't that amazing? Young men. And we look at our congregation. We love you, men, by the way, but there's an awful lot of women here. And so, you know, in generally speaking, it's more women that go to church. But in this generation, there's more men that are attending church. We need to pray for these men. And I would love to see them to grow and be godly men, male leaders. We need more godly male leaders in this nation. I'm nothing against women in leadership, but I think it's gone too much the other way. I think we need some really godly male leadership. So anyway, so you can see, and the overall interest of this, you know, us, are they over 65s? Most of us, not all of us. it has risen, apparently. And and if you go on to the next slide, please. The Bible reading of by age, I can't see from here. So if you look at the 18 to 34-year-olds, at least weekly, 80% of them read their Bible, and 57% in most of our age group. Very challenging, isn't it? And yet this is happening in our nation, in the UK, right now. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss that wave of excitement. And it doesn't happen just with that age group either. And I've known people that either come back to faith or are new to the faith, that they have a passion for the Lord that I haven't seen in many years, actually. And there's a move of God in this nation right now. And we need to catch it, we need to see it, and we need to move with it. So what does that quiet revival look like in our church, in our funny little, not funny, it's a lovely little church here in Mattishaw, it's not funny at all, it's joyful, yes. What does that look, is that something that we see here? We've had, not Gen Z, not male, we've got our lovely Lisa, and we've got our lovely Anne. I haven't had much time to talk to Anne, but Lisa, people are coming in off the street saying, I just felt I had to be here this morning. And that's how Lisa came to this church. She came to one of our quiet mornings. And just, you know, it's not rocket science. It's people being drawn to God and not quite sure what to do with it and just walking in and saying, I just felt I had to be here this morning. That is what revival looks like. It's not massive, but it's little trickles. It's the odd, not the odd, you're not odd, but the occasional person from time to time. And Anne's just suddenly recently come to us as well. And I haven't heard her story yet. been looking forward to hearing that story. But Lisa has just been talking. I'll tell you what, that young lady is on fire for the Lord. Talk to her. She is so awesome. She is there in a Bible and feels so joyful. And yes, you know, the Christian life isn't easy. You know, and unless, yes, she has her challenges, as we all do. And I hope you don't mind me talking about you, Lisa, but Lisa works in our surgery. My goodness, she needs prayer. Do pray for her. Pray for her in the workplace and her walk with Jesus, and for her passion to continue, her passion for the Lord to continue. It's really exciting. And I've noticed that I've got a couple of other friends nearby that have recently come to the Lord, and they are so on fire. And I sit there thinking, oh gosh, you know, I need to step it up a bit. Anyway, yeah, every generation in this country has a hunger for the Lord, that hot God shaped hole. And because over the years our nation has ousted out Jesus out of the schools, out of the universities, the colleges, the workplaces, the hospitals, and the society in general. And they don't know what they're looking for. Why don't they know what they're looking for? Because we haven't told them. The only spirituality that can fulfill what they're looking for is to follow Jesus. He's the first and the last, the way, the truth, the life. And nothing else on this planet will fulfill those people as much as a relationship with Jesus. If they don't know, they need to know this, but if they're not told, they won't know. We need to get in there first with the gospel, because if we don't, they will start looking in other places, in the occult, in other religions, in all the stuff that the internet throws us at us, the unhealthy life choices. Verse 3 says, Jesus says, I'm going to send you like lambs among wolves. And yes, it's scary, isn't it? He says also not to greet anybody along the road. And I'll just explain that, because the Jewish greeting was, the ancient Jewish greeting was very complicated and very long and drawn out. And it would take like 20 to 30 minutes. So he doesn't want the disciples to waste time on sort of idle chatter and stuff like that. A quick shalom and move on, a quick hello and move on. And what about us? Do we waste time on idle chatter? Or do we want, because God wants us to step out and speak of him and have a conversation about him. It's not about telling him, oh, we go to, telling them rather, that, oh, I go to church. And I know I do that. I'm preaching to myself here, saying, oh, I go to church. And those that don't know about church, they probably think that's some weird sort of social club. They don't know what it's like. But what we do need to do is far more than that. We need to tell people the difference that Jesus makes in our life. You need to ask ourselves, I'm going to maybe ask you, what has Jesus done for you this week in your life? And if you feel uncomfortable with that, I've asked a couple of people that recently, and they thought, I don't know how to answer. But actually, when we can practice on each other, it's a safe place here. Why don't we start asking each other, what has Jesus done for you in your life this week? Because personal testimony is really powerful. And, you know, if we practice on each other, it gives us a confidence to go out and to, not to practice, but to put it into practice outside in the mission field. And praying. Yeah, I'm amazed at the number of people that are open to be prayed for. When you're out and about, and people say, oh, I've got a really bad leg. All you've got to say is, in Jesus' name be healed. That's what he did. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? It didn't go some long, drawn-out prayer. He said, be healed, come out of him, or whatever it was. Just short, sharp prayers. You don't have to stand there for hours praying. I find, me personally, and I'm not very good at this, but when I do step out and I am bold, the more God moves and the more confident I become. And I guarantee that you will be amazed at the number of people that out there that will accept prayer. I've prayed for several people quite recently, and none of them have said, oh no, I don't want you to pray for me. But in the past, I know that people don't like being prayed for there and then. I said, well, if you don't mind, I'll pray for you in my when I'm with, my quiet time, and things like that. And do it. Don't just say it. Do it. And so the more confident we are and become, the more competent we become in the gospel and spreading, the more the gospel spreads. These are exciting times in the kingdom of God, and it's important to not let us float by, not let that time float by. And I don't know if any of you've heard Pete Gregg. He started the 24/7 prayer movement, a great guy. I listen to his stuff quite a bit. He's a very powerful speaker, and his church, they have some good they have some good preaching there. And he talks about, he's done a talk recently about Wake Up, about the awakening, and it's on YouTube. I might put it on the Facebook page, the Benefice Facebook page. But he says it's like surfing, and I'm not a surfer. Surprise, surprise. But he said, you watch the waves, and you see one coming, and you catch it, and you go with it. And if we don't go with it, we just sort of roll over and sort of maybe turn upside down. And I don't know about you, I want to catch that wave. I want to catch what God is doing out there. And in verse 10, Jesus speaks about not being welcomed, being rejected. And don't let one negative experience put you off. And yes, there will be people that don't want to hear what you have to say. But in verse 16, it says, whoever listens to you, listens to me, says Jesus. Whoever rejects you, rejects Jesus, rejects me, says Jesus. But whoever rejects Jesus, rejects God. So it's not you. If they say, oh no, I'm not interested, it's not you they're rejecting, it's Jesus. So we don't need to take this thing personally. And so there are three points that I want to pull out of this. Firstly, pray, and then look, and then go. So pray, first and foremost, pray. Can't do this without the Lord. Very often, when we're praying for, as Jesus says in the passage, to send workers out into the harvest field, it's usually us he wants to go. If God is putting something on your heart, it's usually you that he wants to go. We are the ones that are best connected in bobcart court or dog walking or carers that come into your home every day. We are the best ones that are connected to people in our workplace and our places of volunteering. And there's nothing we can do more to receive more power than when we pray for the Holy Spirit. I want to repeat that. There is nothing we can do more to receive more power than when we pray for the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go about our day with a conscience of being available for him, for his kingdom. Share our faith, what Jesus is doing in our life at the moment. Yes, it's tough. But when we spend time with the Lord beforehand and pray about stepping out in the Holy Spirit, he will guide us, he will show us the people he wants us to speak to and give us the words to go alongside those who are hurting and needy. And just so, the song that Jonathan sang about, the broken, the last one, I can't remember the words now. I don't know if it's still up there, is it? No, it doesn't matter. But yeah, just really relevant to what I was speaking on this morning. Yeah, thank you. Those that are broken, lay down your burdens and your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face, O wanderer, come home. Oh gosh, there's plenty of those around. You're not too far. Sorry, nobody's too far from the kingdom and the redemption. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart and come as you are. And I remember when I became a Christian, the song that we were singing is Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. And I thought, I'm just me. It's just me, Lord. And that's how he worked through me. So secondly, look out. Look what's going on in our world, in our news. Look what's going on in our society. Look what people watch. It's amazing. If you just walk around and sit and watch people, you can see some of the downheartedness and the heaviness that people are carrying. Even strangers. I remember years ago when I was in walking through Winchester, near where I used to live, and there was a young woman just slumped on the steps, and I just looked at her and I thought, and I just sensed God saying, "Go and speak to her." And I thought, "It's not what I do, Lord. I don't do this." Anyway, I just went alongside her and I said, "Are you okay?" It all came out, burst into tears. And I tell you what, I was there for about an hour and a half listening to her. And I said, "Look," well, not an hour, it wasn't. It was probably about half an hour. And she just came out with all this stuff. And my goodness, that woman was going through a difficult time. And I was a Christian. I said, "Look, I don't know how you deal with this, but I know somebody who does." And I said, "I know I'm a Christian and I believe that Jesus will help you in this situation, even if it's just to give you peace and the strength to carry you through this." And and that's what I did. I prayed for her and, I prayed for her and, you know, I've never seen her again. I don't know what God was doing, but I know that he sent me to speak to this person. And go out, step out in faith. I just want to briefly mention the passage in Kings where Naaman, this highly regarded commander, was asked to do a simple thing, just to wash himself in the Jordan 7 times. And yet, in his pride, and, you know, "I'm far too important for that. I want Elisha to come." Elisha to come along and wave, you know, do fancy things. And all he needed to do was something simple. And his humble servant said, "Would you have done something if it was more complicated?" And of course, that's what he did, and he was healed. Is God asking us to do an impossible task? It's sharing our life. It's sharing our life with Jesus, with someone else. No, he's just asking us. Yes, we might get our hands dirty. We might feel uncomfortable stepping out in faith. And reaching out to the lost. And yes, they might reject us. But what have we got to lose? A bit of pride, our reputation perhaps. Because don't forget, it's Jesus they're rejecting, not us. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and and surely I am with you always to the very end of age." We're not doing it on our own when we pray beforehand. We're doing it with Jesus and for Jesus. And some of us maybe aren't able to get out and about there as much as we'd like because of situations. And even if you're in a tough situation and going through a difficult time, God can use that situation to minister to others. I remember when I was going through a really tough, like a cancer journey in 2010, I didn't realise, you know, I just sort of, you know, I was grateful to wake up every morning, to be honest, it was that bad. And I had people come up to me and said, "You have been such an amazing witness of your faith." And I had no idea. So, you know, when we're strong in the Lord, it's not as if we have to say much. We just have to live it out because it comes naturally and it's shown to us. But some of us physically can't get out and about as much as we could or we'd like to. And so pray for workers out in the mission field, out there, out in the marketplace. And I would personally like prayer, please, because I don't know the full circumstances, so I can't divulge too much, but I feel God calling me into school chaplaincy. And it's something that was raised some months ago. I knew that God wanted me outside the church, in the marketplace, you know, out there in the mission field. And I started thinking, oh, I don't know. And Marion very kindly gave me a thing from the hospital. I thought, maybe it's hospital chaplaincy. And it didn't sit right. I thought, oh, I don't know, this doesn't sit right. And then I read an article about a school chaplain. And I thought, that's it. I just knew in my know. I just felt in my spirit, that is what God is calling me to. And secondary school, so that's lamb, you know, sending the lamb to wolves. I feel it's quite scary, and I have done youth work before, and this is and pray for Youth for Christ as well, because one of our mission partners, because I will be working alongside them and possibly with the diocese, depending on which school I go to. And there's two schools that I'm in conversation with at the moment, and I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like. So pray, do pray, because I'm scared. It's not easy, but it's taking the presence of God into a secular environment. And my goodness, those young people need to know about Jesus. And it's not just the pupils, it's the staff, it's the teachers, it's possibly the parents as well. I don't know what this is going to look like. And I know that it's something that the diocese want to expand. They're doing it in South Norfolk, but they're trying to expand it more here in mid-Norfolk. And North and all this. So do pray. I desperately need prayers. So please remember me in your prayers. And hopefully in the autumn something will start, but not sure of that yet. So look around. Be aware of what's going on around you. Pick up on what Jesus is doing. You know, I some wise young man said to me years ago, mission is seeing what God is doing and joining in and being part of it. And that's what I feel God has called me to do, to be part. That's why I took the lollipop roll on. It's not because I fancied standing in the road like that. And I tell you what, in the pouring rain, I felt his joy. I know he called me because I was very resistant. I'm not doing that role, Lord. Oh, yes, you are. I'm calling you to do it. And it's open doors. It's open doors to the school chaplaincy. And it's opened lots of other doors. I could go in and talk to the head right now. That's favour, because I know that it's been quite resistant to the church. And we need to pray for that little place where lots of kids, big place. But yeah, anyway, I'm going off piste. Anyway, so look, be aware of the needs around us. Pray. We can't do this in our own strength. I've said about that, and go, step out in faith and make disciples of all nations. And all of us here have that responsibility. No excuses. And I want to just say in Ezekiel 33, it speaks of us being watchmen for the kingdom of God, and to blow the trumpet to warn people of spiritual death and destruction. And if they don't heed the warning, that's on their head. That's their choice. They've rejected Jesus. But Ezekiel warns us that if we don't blow the trumpet, we will be accountable to God. And I don't know about you, when I go to glory, I want to stand before God and say, yep, I spoke to people about my faith. It's not rocket science. It's not difficult. It's just reaching into people's lives and showing them. Well, you know, what does Jesus do? He brings us hope. When we always hope, it's a bit like, you know, when I went through that cancer journey, I had that hope in Jesus. And also during COVID, I've never been so evangelistic than during COVID, when everybody's going, and I said, but we have hope. We have hope in Jesus. And, you know, he helps me to love the unlovable. What else does he do? He gives me peace when everything around me is just going haywire. Just go through the fruits of the Spirit and see how it works in your life. As Christians, it is our duty to spread the gospel. We are his hands and his feet, his ears, his eyes, his voice in our broken and desperate world. The only way to heal that brokenness is through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let's take some time to consider where we meet with people on the off chance in our everyday lives. Those snap conversations, or maybe in-depth conversations with others, to shine the light, as Cheryl was saying, shining, that has been drawn to the light. They're flapping around like that bird was, flapping around, panicking, and yet the light shines in them. And it's that freedom in Christ. And that pigeon was free because it saw the light and it flew towards the light. And that's really prophetic, that word this morning. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of this. I want to shine the light of Jesus into the lives of my neighbours, my family that have drawn away from Jesus, into my family that don't know him, into our neighbourhoods, into our workplaces, into our schools and our colleges where there's so much brokenness. Oh, Father God, will you give us the strength and the boldness to step out in faith? Help us not to worry about what the consequences are for us, but to just spread your gospel, to spread your word, Lord. We want to see people on fire for you. And I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in Lisa's life, Lord. And I pray that you will anoint her with your Holy Spirit each and every day as she goes into that workplace and shines your light into the lives of those around her and in her family as well, Lord. Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Show us what to do. Wake us up, Lord, to your Spirit, to step out in boldness and confidence, and help us here to swap stories about what you're doing in our lives, to give us confidence to take those stories out into the marketplace, into that, you know, into the mission field, into those fields that are ripe for harvest, as they are physically in this land. I believe that many people are ripe for your harvest, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us your ways, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.